Welcome. You're about to listen to a message from LifePoint, a warm, friendly, and vibrant community for the young at heart.
Hallelujah! Wow, wasn't that amazing? Please go ahead and celebrate the LifePoint band, the best band in the world. Amen. But more importantly, I want us to rise and celebrate the reason that we are gathered, the gift of salvation, the one who triumphed over death, made a show, changed death completely so that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't he worthy of praise? Go ahead and make some noise in his presence, LifePoint Church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning. Please be seated. Let's love on everyone who's joining us online. Online church family, we love you. Thank you for being here. Help me celebrate the person seated beside you. Tell them happy Easter. Happy Easter. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. All right, we will continue in praise this morning. I just have a really, really short charge to perhaps help someone, maybe just one person, because most people seem to get the reason for our celebration today from the worship, the prayers, the Bible reading. Everything has sort of built up a momentum for us, and so you get it. But just in case there's someone in the room or online who perhaps is still struggling, why are we so excited? Jesus died and he rose. What does that mean for me? I want to read very quickly, and I'm going to try and stick to my notes because I have very short time and I don't want Kenneth to chase me out of here. So I will stick with the notes in front of me. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 from verses 1 to 8. Can this timer be changed, please, so that I'm properly guided? Luke 24, 1 to 8. I'll read verse 1 and then I'll skip to verse 5. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, I'm reading the New Living Translation, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Essentially, I mean, Jesus had died at this time. He had been buried, and then some women decided to maybe go and grieve, go and anoint his body with spices and all. So let's continue the reading from verse 5. It says, as they stood there puzzled. Why? Because they got there, and then they didn't find Jesus' body in the tomb. They didn't find it there. They found an empty grave with grave clothes, you know, just lying there. It says, as they puzzled these things, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? I like how the New King James Version puts it. It says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now, if you have been with us here at LifePoint, maybe in the last couple weeks, about two or so weeks, this month we started a new teaching series called what? No, now, people of God. Q&A with God is the teaching series. The first question we addressed last week Sunday was what? Where are you? And then for those who were at 6:18 meeting on Wednesday, what was the question we addressed? Where is your brother? Thank you very much. If you are not coming to 6:18, you need to do better. Amen. All right, so today we look at a question just very briefly. However, it is not a question that God would pose to man, but it is an also equally important question that the angels would ask these women. He says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Verse 8 says, then they remembered that Jesus had said this. They remembered that Jesus had said this. As we worship this Easter morning, We remember the divine exchange that happened over 2,000 years ago on a day like this. You know, on a season, a weekend like this, Jesus was crucified. He was in the tomb for two nights. And then on Sunday morning, he was nowhere to be found. He was risen. On a day like this, the angels posed an all-important question to the women who came to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body and maybe even spend some time grieving. Three things that we need to note from this account. One is that our victory is assured. This story is a very strong reminder of victory that had already been gotten for us over 2,000 years ago. There is a need to constantly remember the ultimate sacrifice that brought us victory. Jesus shamed death on the cross, which symbolizes a change of story for you and I. When you recall our teaching on Sunday, when we spoke about where are you, we spoke about identity, we spoke about position, and we spoke about location. Essentially, the work that Jesus did, the fact that he did not stay dead in that tomb, is the assurance of victory that you and I have. That whatever isn't working in our lives, God is working behind the scenes to ensure that that victory that has already been gotten for us, we start to walk in the manifestation of it. And so this morning, as we spend time just celebrating this gift of salvation, celebrating this victory, we remember this ultimate sacrifice. Jesus shamed death on the cross, which symbolizes a change of story in every ramification of our lives. So what isn't working? What looks like it needs a touch from God? I'm here to remind you, to ask you to remember that God already got this victory for you. Jesus already got the victory for you. By reason of his death and his resurrection, every stripe he took on him, every beating that was laid on him, every cursing, every word spoken against him was all for you and I. So that we can live lives abundantly, so that we can be repositioned, so that our stories can change. So it means that whatever is contending with you and I, contending for our peace, contending for our joy, contending for our salvation, contending for the life that God had originally designed and intended for us, it has no power to stand, because the greatest power already took it out on that cross. I thought somebody would be excited. Only looks like it's only the band that gets it. They are the ones that get it. I thought somebody would just be grateful that this thing that is before me, that appears as a mountain before me, God already took it out. The assignment was already completed even before I showed up on the scene. Hallelujah. Same way Christ shamed death is the same way everything dead in and around us receives life in Jesus' name. When Jesus rose from the dead, scripture says that we were raised up with him. And so as you dance and you rejoice and you jump and you scream this morning, I need you to understand there's a mindset that shapes victory. There's a mindset that shapes your rejoice, and it's the mindset of victory. Amen. It is the mindset of victory. The second thing to note is, first thing I said was victory has been delivered. The second thing to note is that we have entered, by reason of this account, this story, this historical documentation that did happen and has been proven by research, that there is an assurance of the fulfillment of promises. Amen. Every promise of God for your life will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. God already completed the assignment. He gave his word that Jesus would rise on the third day, and he did. So whether you are feeling it or not, whether the things, situations around you look like it or not, looks like victory or not, I need you to again embrace this mindset of victory and the mindset of an assurance of the fulfillment of promise. That God that gave the word, God that promised it, he is working behind the scenes. He is working for your good. He is ensuring that this thing that I have already handed to you, remember when we spoke about your location, that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, that which you have access to already, you start to walk in the manifestation of it. Jesus already paid the price. And so that second thought is that there's an assurance of the fulfillment of God's promises. Lastly, the angel said, he is risen. there was divine power at work here. So it's the availability of divine power. I always say that when you don't know who you are in Christ and you don't know the things that you have access to, you don't know what it is by reason of your position, what you have been given and gifted, then life will do you anyhow. The angels reminded the women, but remember what God already said. Remember what Jesus told you at Galilee. Remember the promises he already gave you that he would rise. And so you have come here, but he's not here. He is risen. He is risen. So divine power was at work here. And Paul describes it for us as the power of resurrection. And just as he prayed in Ephesians 1 from verses 19 to 21, I also pray that you and I will come to know intimately the exceeding greatness of God's power expressed in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And I pray that this knowledge will reposition us into the realm of the finished work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we rejoice this morning, as we celebrate, please dance like a victorious person. Rejoice as the one that has been restored, revived, and released into the fulfillment of destiny. Rejoice as one that has been repositioned from darkness into light. Rejoice as one that has been repositioned from weakness to strength. Rejoice as one that has been repositioned from shame to glory. Rejoice as one that has been repositioned from sickness to health. Rejoice as one that has been repositioned from death to life. Hallelujah! Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that the message has blessed your heart. To download more free messages, please visit www.soundcloud.com/LifePointNG. For more information about us and all our other resources, please visit www.LifePointNG.org.